This is the story of Clarence Snyder. Clarence wrote the first edition big book story, Home Brewmeister. He was a sponsee of Dr. Bob and the founder of AA in Cleveland. He split from the Akron-Oxford group meetings and announced special meeting of alcoholics only, apart from the Oxford group. This group was the first group to be known as Alcoholics Anonymous. Their first meeting was held May 18, 1939, in the Cleveland Heights home of Abby Goldrick. There were 16 members present. He had also attended John D. Rockefeller's AA dinner February the 8th, 1940. He was always very loyal to his sponsor, Dr. Bob, but in later years, Clarence became very antagonistic and hostile toward Bill Wilson. Clarence passed away in Florida in 1984. The story, The Home Brewmeister, written by Clarence H. Snyder, Cleveland, Ohio. The original manuscript appears on page 274 in the first edition and page 297 in the second and third editions of the big book Alcoholics Anonymous. An originator of Cleveland's group number 3, this one fought prohibition in vain. Clarence had his last drink on February the 11th, 1938. According to the article he wrote for the AA Grapevine, November 1968 issue, 15 months later he organized the first Cleveland group. Clarence was born on December 26, 1902, in Cleveland, Ohio, the youngest of three brothers. He dropped out of high school at 14 after his father's death and went to work. He later took many night courses studying economics, business, credits, and collections. This prepared him for later employment at the City National Bank in Cleveland, from which he was fired for alcoholism at the age of 32. It was not the only job from which he had been fired. After holding good positions, making better than average income for over 10 years, he was bankrupt in every way. He was in debt, he had no clothes to speak of, no money, no friends, and no one any longer tolerated him except his wife. Not even his son or the saloon keepers. He was unemployable. He said in a talk he gave in 1965 that he couldn't even get a job with the WPA. His wife, Dorothy, who had worked for an employment agency, couldn't even get him a job. Then Dorothy heard of a doctor in Akron who had been successful in treating alcoholics. She offered him the alternative of going to see Dr. Bob or her leaving for good. He agreed, and that was the turning point in his life. He entered the hospital after first going on a 3-day drunk. While in the hospital, a plan for living was explained to him, a simple plan that he found great joy and happiness in following. He became an enthusiastic 12-stepper, literally dragging prospects for AA off the bar stools. Clarence started the first AA group in Cleveland in 1939, in part because some Roman Catholic priests in Cleveland were refusing to let Catholics attend the Oxford group meeting in Akron. This was the first group to use the name Alcoholics Anonymous. Nell Wing, Bill Wilson's longtime secretary, said that Bill had been using the name since 1938 in letters and a pamphlet, but on this slender basis, Clarence forever claimed to have founded AA. Dorothy also was very active and did much to help AA in Cleveland. They were divorced before Clarence was drafted into the Army in 1942. Dorothy and their son moved to California. Unfortunately, Clarence had an abrasive personality, and as one of his friends said, you either loved him or you hated him. According to Nell Wing, if he had not been so abrasive, he probably would have been considered co-founder of AA. When Clarence left Cleveland for military service, a farewell party was held for him. and he was presented with a wristwatch as a gift from all the West Side groups who acclaimed him for his pioneer work in Cleveland, and particularly on the West Side. In a letter from Basic Training, Private Snyder said that the going was rough, and he wished he were 15 or 20 years younger. He supplied his address at Fort Knox, Kentucky, for which anyone who wished to write him, and said he missed the association of the groups and was looking for other AA members in Kentucky. He became very hostile toward Bill Wilson. He opposed the traditions and continued to use his full name in public. He led a small group to oppose the conference and the General Service Office. After the war, he married his second wife, Selma, who worked at the Deaconess Hospital, where her father was the director. Clarence often took alcoholics there to sober them up. Clarence and Selma moved to St. Petersburg, Florida. Eventually, they divorced. Clarence then married his third wife, Grace, also an AA member, and joined her as a member of the Assembly of God Church in Winter Park. They did much AA work together and conducted many religious retreats. Unlike Bill Wilson, he always used his full name in public and was honored with several prestigious awards for public service during his life, which he did not hesitate to accept. He remained very active in AA, and his AA work became increasingly Christian, fundamentalist in nature. He and Grace lived at 142 South Lake Triplett Drive in Castleberry, Florida, until his death on March the 22nd, 1984. He was buried in Cameron Cemetery in Cameron, North Carolina, in Grace's family plot. Clarence said, "I've never quit being active." The author of Home Brewmeister asserted that in this life-changing program, the growth process never ends. On February the 11th, 1938, I had my last drink. I was a chronic alkie, and through a long, involved miracle, I met my sponsor, Dr. Bob, one of our co-founders. He put me in Akron City Hospital, where I had met the alkies who had preceded me in the fellowship. 15 months later, I organized the Cleveland, Ohio AA group. The activity in the Cleveland area was hectic. I spent practically all my time obtaining and following up on publicity for AA, lining up cooperation with civic and church groups, hospitals and courts, and helping new groups to start. So what do I do now, 30 years later? I've never quit being active, although my position in the fellowship has been modified over the years. I attend an average of 2 meetings per week when I am home. I'm also asked to speak at various groups. In addition, I'm invited to take part in numerous group anniversary programs and AA roundups around the country, and sometimes out of the country. Many people call on me for counsel and advice on both personal and group problems. I have an extensive correspondence, since I have made so many friends in AA from coast to coast. Once in a while, I sponsor someone. Cases where about everything has been tried by everyone else often wind up in my hands. I have not found the program to be difficult, and I maintain that if it does seem difficult for anyone, he's doing it right. Certainly when I came to this fellowship, I was in no position or condition to handle anything difficult. I kept things simple, but I must add that when I first began, I was well sponsored. I took measures now summarized in the first 9 steps of the program: admittance of need, the first step, surrender, the 2nd through 7th, and restitution, the 8th and 9th. Having done this, I no longer had a drinking problem, since it had been turned over to a higher power. Now I had, and still have, a living problem. But that is taken care of by the practice of steps 10, 11, and 12. So I don't have to be concerned about anything but a simple 3-step program, which with practice has become habitual. Step 10 enables me to check on myself and my activities of the day. I have found that most things disturbing me are little things, but still the very things which, if not dealt with, can pile up and eventually overwhelm me. My daily checkup covers good deeds as well as questionable ones. Often, I find I can commend myself in some areas, while in others I owe apologies. Step 11 is done after my daily inventory. I usually need the peace resulting from prayer and meditation, and I do receive guidance for my life and actions. Step 12 to me does involve not only carrying the message, but extending AA principles into all phases of my daily life. I learned long ago that this is a life-changing program, but that after change occurs, it is necessary for me to go on making the effort to improve myself mentally, morally, and spiritually. This is my simple program, and I recommend it to anyone who wants a good life and is willing to do his share of helping. Signed, CHS, St. Petersburg, Florida.